Okay, so we'll call the meeting of the zoning board of appeals to order. Will secretary please call the roll?
Chairman Martin.
Here.
Ms. Davis.
Here.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Here.
Mr. Lucchese.
Here.
Mr. Plavac.
Here.
Ms. Schubkegel. Mr. Smetana. We have five.
All right, so the first matter on our agenda this evening is the approval of the minutes from our meeting on June 10th. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes? Somebody want to make a somebody who attended want to make a motion to approve these minutes from June 10th?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Calling the roll of the members who were at the meeting on June 10th, Chairman Martin.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese.
Yes.
All right, so those minutes are approved. The next matter on the agenda this evening is an appeal from the zoning administrator regarding a decision that was made concerning the property at 558 Lathrop Avenue. As you may be aware, unlike a request for a zoning variation, we do not make a recommendation to the Board of Trustees in this matter. We are hearing this as an appeal from a decision made by the zoning administrator, and in this instance, our decision is the final decision from the Village of River Forest. So we'd ask that everyone who's going to address us this evening, if you would please stand and get sworn in, and then we'll be prepared to go.
Hold on. Here we go. To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the Village River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
Yes.
All right, so our procedure is to permit the applicant or the appellant to make a presentation to us, telling us why they think the decision of the zoning administrator was improper. After you've had an opportunity, then we'll hear from the village and hear their justification for the decision that was made. You'll have a final opportunity to address the board. And then if there is anyone in the audience who wants to address us on this matter, we'll hear them. Otherwise, we will then close the public portion of the meeting, and as a board, we will discuss this and make our decision. So procedurally, that's how we're going to go. So if you would please go to the podium and address yourself and address us and identify yourself and tell us.
Do I need to press a button?
No.
So my name is Jeff Olszewski. I'm the owner, along with my wife, of 558 Lathrop, and appreciate you meeting this evening. I am currently in the process of demoing our building, the building that was there. We're doing a deconstruction where they take everything apart piece by piece. And we submitted plans for a new home to be built there on August 11th, and the zoning administration returned comments on September 15th. I'm appealing the decision made by the board and their interpretation of the definition of the word grade. If I am forced to use the definition that the zoning administration, or excuse me, zoning administrator used, my basement will be included in the FAR, and then our entire plans are not in compliance with the ratio. And the reason I'm appealing is that per the recommendation of our soil engineer who did a water table depth, that we should not dig deeper and have our foundation any closer to the water table. So that means the only real remedy, if we accept this definition, is to significantly materially change our plans. So before I'd like to start, there's just a couple things that I'd like to say that are not in dispute. I'm not asking for a variance.
Recording in progress.
I'm not asking for a variance. I don't want an adjustment to the FAR. I want to comply with that, but the way that it's the definition that was offered is not what would cause us to be out of compliance. The other thing that I'd like to make clear is that in more than one case, the zoning authority made mention of the height of the building. And if you don't mind, I'd like to pass this out just so we can kind of highlight the definitions as well as some text of the memorandum that was sent. I apologize. I didn't realize how many people were here. I looked at the minutes of the last one. More present, so I had to make some copies. So what's relevant is the height of the building, as defined by in the ordinance in 10.3.1, is that it's the vertical distance measured from the nearest public sidewalk. And in the pink, and I apologize if you can't see it for the photocopied versions, in the pink highlighted areas, you'll see that the zoning authority said at one point the building sections correctly relate the maximum building height to grade. Well, the building height is not measured from grade, it's measured from the sidewalk, and it's very explicitly defined in the ordinance. They later say in the very last highlighted area, it says that any alter to grade in the starting point from which the heights are measured. Again, the height is measured from the sidewalk, the height of the building. And our plans as submitted do comply with the village height. So really what I'm disputing is the use of the definition used in the word grade. So there are three definitions in the ordinance. You'll see at the top, B is not pertinent as it refers to a lot that's on a corner and has you know, touches two streets, which my lot is not. So really the distinction is between definition A and definition B. Definition A says that it's applicable for all buildings where one of the walls of the building adjoins the street. And section C says it's applicable for walls that do not adjoin the street. So the real crux of the matter is the definition of the word adjoin. I want to be clear that the definition does not say the lot. It is referring to the wall of the building. So while the lot may adjoin the street, the wall certainly does not. And why I say that is that I looked up in Merriam-Webster and even dictionary.com, and the definition of adjoining is touching or to be in contact with. And so my wall is more than 5 feet from the street. But to remove any uncertainty, the authors of the ordinance in subsection C stated very explicitly, any wall approximately parallel to and not more than 5 feet from a street shall be considered adjoining. So my wall is more than 5 feet, and therefore by the very plain English definition of adjoining and the language in the ordinance, my wall is not adjoining the street, and therefore my contention is that definition C should apply. The zoning authority did not dispute in the correspondence that I read in the memorandum and the village attorney's kind of supporting argument. They didn't dispute the definition. What they did was they used a subjective interpretation of this definition, and they also cited previous kind of historical interpretations. And in regard to the subjective interpretation, and I apologize, I'm going to read some notes. I'm a little nervous. I've never done this before, and it's pretty important. Both the zoning authority and the village attorney mentioned that the intent of Section C was to apply for buildings deep into Cook County forest property. Well, the word deep is highly subjective, right? There's no there's no real, we don't know what deep is. But the definition in the ordinance is anything but subjective. It clearly states 5 feet. So the zoning authority, in my opinion, is assuming that they have the right to assuming discretion where the ordinance has not really granted any. And had the authors of the ordinance wanted the zoning authority to have discretion, they wouldn't have specified a very quantifiable measurement. Second, the zoning authority contends that this is how they've previously interpreted this ordinance. And with all due respect, I don't think that previous interpretations are relevant. We should be interpreted as it's written. Just because it was done in the past does not mean that it was necessarily done correctly. They also state that if we applied Section C, it would effectively render Section A irrelevant. That's inaccurate because they referred to there's virtually no residential buildings that are less than 5 feet, but the definition of grade does not apply only to residential. It applies to commercial buildings as well. And I went through some of the commercial zoning definitions, and C1 says that a building may occupy 100% of the lot, right? So clearly Section A could be applicable. Now, it's not likely. And that's kind of the other part of that point is that, you know, whether or not Section A is applicable, you know, one time or 1,000 times is somewhat irrelevant to the applicability of Section C. They're really not dependent on one another. And finally, in more of the correspondence, the zoning authority pointed out that the grade could be manipulated to serve my or, you know, any developer's interests. And that could ultimately just render the grade calculation meaningless. And I acknowledge that in that particular instance, when grade is calculated, how it's calculated is a little ambiguous in the ordinance. However, I'm using a static definition of grade. So we did a topographical survey prior to demolition, and so we're not modifying that. So it's not really a case of we could just change it because we've submitted the survey with our permit application. And I would like to reiterate that because the height ordinance is not relative to grade, it's relative to the sidewalk, and there's a clear distinction in the ordinance that it wouldn't change. So whether the grade is slightly above or slightly below the sidewalk is irrelevant to the total height ordinance. So those are my kind of pertinent points, and I guess I'll hand the mic over.
Any questions at this point for the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Chairman Martin, this is Michael Smetana. I wanted to let you know that I've been in attendance, but I've had some connection issues, so I couldn't say yay when attendance was called.
All right, we're glad you're here, Mr. Smetana. And the attendance roster will reflect your presence.
Yeah, and for the record, I heard the, you know, the swearing in and the entire testimony of the applicant.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so who's going to present the village? Okay.
So, we concur that the building height overall is in compliance. And understand the applicant's proposal that they can't build lower because of the water table. I would note that they do have the option to seek remedy through the village's variation process, which they've not done yet. The issue we agree that summarized here is that essentially when the basement is built a certain height above grade, then that space in the basement counts towards FAR. And in this situation, with that space counted towards the floor area ratio, it puts the property out of compliance with the maximum floor area ratio allowed under the code, which is 40%. And this would put them somewhere in the neighborhood of 60. The dispute here, we agree, is whether or not within the definition of grade, they fall under A or C. They're arguing that they fall under C. We argue they fall under A. Every other residential property in River Forest has fallen under, or consistently, particularly on that block, has fallen within the same definition. The definition has been consistently applied for a number of years. Adjoining the street, we believe, is adjacent to. We believe every home on this block is adjacent to a street, and therefore one street, except for corner lots, which are fall under Section B. Otherwise, this property falls under Section A, and that the definition of grade, and as it's measured here, results in noncompliance with the zoning ordinance. So we disagree that C1 applies. C1 is intended for, as the attorney noted, properties that are deep in a large lot. Cook County Forest Preserve is an example. Concordia University would be an example where you have an interior building that is not adjoining a street. Dominican University would be a similar situation. So to argue that this property falls under the definition of C1 would essentially, we believe, render A inapplicable to residential properties throughout River Forest and would modify how FAR is applied to those residential properties.
Anything else?
Not now.
Any questions of the village? So right, you're telling us that the words adjoining and adjacent have the same meaning, is that correct?
Yes. Adjoining meaning next to.
Next. I have a question. Chris Plavach. I'm looking at the blueprint, and I see what's allowed by the village, 4'9", and they're proposing more than six and a half feet mm-hmm. above grade, which is just slightly under 2 feet. Is that correct?
It's so they can build, right? There is no restriction that says they can't build that much higher than grade. All we're saying is once they do that, the basement then counts towards FAR.
FAR.
Right.
Okay.
May I say something? The crux of the matter is that there is a slight slope from the sidewalk to the wall, where the wall will be. And so our contention is that grade is calculated by the average of along the wall. And using that grade calculation, are the floor is in fact 4'9" or less above grade here. But if you measure from here, it's approximately 6 feet. So that really changes everything. So our architect read the ordinance, interpreted as plain language. I would just submit that the words adjacent and adjoin are not the same. Adjoin means touching, and our wall is not touching the street. It's not 5 feet. And additionally, if the authors of the ordinance wanted to say, 10 or 15 or 20 or 100 feet deep, they would have said so, but they very explicitly said 5 feet.
So in the past, the Zoning Board of Appeals has considered zoning variations based upon building height relative to the definition of grade that we are proposing tonight. There is a case that was before the ZBA a few years ago with regard to a garage, and that garage height variation was based on an interpretation of the word grade from the sidewalk to the top of that garage. So the ZBA has previously adopted decisions utilizing the definition of grade as measured from the sidewalk and not the land adjacent to the building.
And I'd like to add that in the definition.
It's not your opportunity to speak here. All right. Do we have any questions for Ms. Shiner?
I have a question for the village. I think it's for the village. Tell me if we should discuss in closed session instead. But what this seems to assume that everything is flat, that all land is flat in River Forest with the sidewalk. You know. What happens to the properties that abut the train tracks, south of the train tracks, where the sidewalk's here and there's kind of a slope up? Is there any precedent? I know ZBA decisions are presidential, but have we come across that before, where the property naturally is higher than the sidewalk?
Mm-hmm.
That is a case that does occur, and it affects houses, it affects garages. With garages, it can be much more pronounced of an effect. Certain blocks, the rear of the yard will be much lower than the sidewalk elevation, so then they're entitled to build a building that is taller because you know the dirt level in the backyard is lower to start with. The alternate case is also true. 800 block of Forest, just off the top of my head, on the east side of the street where they're up against the railroad embankment, the rear yards rise up maybe 3-4 feet.
Right. Yeah,
so a garage that allowed to be 18 feet high all of a sudden is only 14 feet high because the ground is so much higher than the elevation at the public walk.
So the village prioritizes keeping buildings short, even if it's at the cost of the homeowner. They just happen to be on a hill. They can't build it taller.
Correct.
Got it.
But just to put a fine point on it, they can still build the building within the height restrictions,
right,
the issue again
is,
yeah, what complies with FAR.
All right, any other questions for Ms. Shiner? Want to say anything?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I have a couple comments. As stated in the memo from my colleague, Gregory Smith, under the applicant's definition or interpretation of the definition of grade, the first two sections of that portions of that section would be rendered void, and as applicable to the entirety of the residential properties in the village, all of the zoning administrator's decisions and the village's past positions in this area would be rendered void, which we know has not been the case. Construction has continued in the village for decades under these standards. The definition of grade as used in the zoning ordinance shouldn't be seen in a vacuum. For instance, the definition of frontage in the zoning ordinance says all the property abutting one side of a street. We know that property does not come directly up to the street. There's a parkway, a common parkway owned by the village. But the general idea and understanding is property abutting a street is property that is facing a street. It has its frontage to a street. We believe that that's a similar interpretation of the definition of grade here. The calculations have been made, as we believe, properly by the zoning administrator, and as we said, we're in support of the interpretation. We also believe that we would point to the fact that the definition section in the zoning ordinance has been amended a considerable number of times since the early 90s, approximately 15 times. Grade has not been amended. This issue has come up before to the Zoning Board of Appeals, and such a change was not made to a text amendment was not made to change the zoning ordinance to match this interpretation. And finally, there were a number of examples from nearby and other zoning ordinances in other areas of Cook County that interpret grade differently and that actually refer to the interpretation that the applicant asks for. The fact of the matter is that River Forest does not interpret grade in the way that these other communities do, and that should be a sign for all of you to show that the intent of the interpretation and the intent of the definition is, in fact, the way that the zoning administrator indicated in his memorandum and tonight, not in the way that other surrounding communities, including Oak Park, interpret their definition of grade.
Any questions for Mr. Forte? You have the floor.
Thank you. I would like to refute or clarify that the height in reference to previous decisions, the height of a building is not based on grade, and it's very clear in the definition. And it's based on where the sidewalk
is. We're not
talking
about height.
Well, there were many references to previous decisions, and I would ask that those sort of be excluded from consideration, as I'm not arguing about the height of the building. I'm not arguing or disputing the height of the basement and whether or not it should be included in the FAR. And the primary response and rationale I've heard from the village is that, you know, this is based on just how we've done it before, and the intent of the ordinance. And my architect, who's been an architect for 35 years, and I think any plain reading of the language in the ordinance is it's not ambiguous. It's not open for interpretation. It doesn't give a subjective definition of length from the street. It gives a very quantifiable measurement of 5 feet. I take issue with that arguing that the intent was more to refer to buildings that were 30, 40, or 100 feet deep, such as in a Cook County property. So in closing, you know, what I would like to say is that my wife and I, were really excited to move to River Forest when this lot came for sale. We were very excited. We jumped on it. And we did anything. We did what any one of you would have done prior to going forward on a project. We did our due diligence. We had a soil test performed. So a soil engineer made a recommendation about how deep we could dig. And then we consulted with our architect. And he looked at the ordinance as it is written. It's very clear. And we designed plans. We designed our dream home. We've been working on this for a year. Spent over $100,000 already in demolition, design, architectural plans, engineering. And we, my wife and I, and to be frank, any citizen, you know, or any resident of the village, can only rely on what's written. This interpretation is highly subjective. It's interpreting intent, which contrasts with the written language of the ordinance. And there's just no way for anyone to know that. And it's for that reason that I ask that the appeals board over you know, grant my appeal and allow us to calculate grade as it is written, based on an existing topographical survey, not one that will be modified. Thank you.
All right, there's no one in the audience. There's no one online that wishes to address this. So at this point, we're going to close the public portion of the hearing. We will discuss it. We'll see if we're ready to make a motion either. I think that the proper motion to make is that we would grant the appeal and overturn the decision of the zoning administrator. I think that's the first motion that we have to consider. Anybody have any comments or any questions? Okay, are we ready to entertain a motion and to make a decision? Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to grant appeal.
Okay, is there a second?
And the motion would be to overturn the decision of the zoning administrator.
Is there a second to Mr. Lucchese's motion? All right, I'll second the motion so that we can proceed. Is there any discussion on the motion? So it's been moved and seconded that we grant the appeal of the owner of 558 Lathrop, and we overturn the decision of the zoning administrator as it relates to the calculation of grade. Everybody
As part of the discussion, what is the procedure if one thinks that we should amend the ordinance to clarify what adjoin means? I assume that would be a separate motion. We'll vote on this motion, and that would be separate. It sounds like we don't amend the ordinances very often.
Right. It wouldn't be a subject of tonight's meeting because it's not indicated on tonight's agenda. But if any of the members or staff would like to bring a text amendment, if anyone of the members or staff would like to bring a discussion at a future meeting, we can discuss it. If there's an application for a text amendment by the village or by any other applicant, it would go through procedure through staff and public notice and publication, and then it would come before the ZBA for consideration,
okay,
and then to the village board. Right.
All right, any other questions or discussions on the motion? Everyone's comfortable with what the motion says. You understand we're voting on whether to overturn the decision of the zoning administrator. Do you want to call the roll, please?
Mr. Smetana?
No.
Mr. Plavach?
No.
Mr. Lucchese?
No.
Mr. Dombrowski?
No.
Ms. Davis?
I would say yes. I don't think adjoining is clear enough here.
Chairman Martin?
No. All right, so the decision of the Zoning Board of Appeals is to not pass the motion to overturn the zoning administrator. That's sufficient?
That's sufficient.
Okay.
In the past, though, I think we've gone and done a motion to
belt and suspenders approach.
Okay. Yeah. So somebody want to make a motion to uphold the decision of the zoning administrator?
I'll make a motion to uphold the decision.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? You want to call the roll, please?
Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Mr. Plavach?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Ms. Davis?
No.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, so that's our decision on this appeal. We thank you for coming here this evening. The last thing on the agenda appears to be a notice. Do we have an application?
We have an application for next month.
For next month, okay. So let Mr. Raddatz know if you'll be available for that time. We have a motion to dismiss.
I move to dismiss.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.